You know, this has been an incredible season in the life of our church. And let me see if I can get this up there. There we go. It's just been an incredible season. We've made some big changes as a church. And this year is really monumental as I think about the future of our church. And you know, God has given us so many reasons to celebrate. For example, last October, we began praying, God, would you allow us to raise $1 million a year over and above our budget? And not only did we meet that goal, but we exceeded it by $100,000+. And I'm so thankful for what the Lord has done there. But as Emily talked about, and Maggie's my assistant, you know, we also give to our regular budget. And this isn't a perfect analogy, so go with me for a second, because it's football season. But just like every football game, they end the third quarter and start the fourth quarter, right? Every football game I've seen, except maybe if you play for Bixby. But you know, the fourth quarter is pretty important. We are entering the fourth quarter of our budget year. And, you know, we've got to tackle a challenge. I mean, we're about 10% behind our regular operating budget. And so we're kind of moving back into normalcy, which is good. We're not totally normal yet because we'll be in our worship center very soon, and that's incredible. And you know, when I look at what God has before us as a church, it's very well within our means as a body to fund our budget and our projects. And so let's re-engage in our budget this next last quarter, and let's tackle that challenge and finish the year strong. And so, you know, it's our ministry funds that support our women's and our children's and just our weekly ministry. And so that's an important part to work on. And so, you know, we've gotten out of the habits, and so let's dig back in. And so let's end the year, finish this fourth quarter of the year strong. So if you have your Bibles, we're in Colossians chapter 1. And this morning, we are kind of turning our face to a refreshing, if you will, of our vision statement. Our staff in this season of transition has gotten together, and we've been praying and wrestling through the direction of our church, the future of our church, as we've made some big shifts with seeing Tulsa launch onto their own, and then the renovation of our worship center, and as we're turning into just turning our face to a future, to be a faithful church, stewarding all that God has given us, planting deep here, right here on this 20 acres. A refreshing of our vision statement is right. Now, you know, Colossians 1 is a really cool passage. It's an important passage because in it we see God speaking to humanity. I know it's written by Paul. Colossians is a letter written by Paul. But like all of the Bible, it is really God speaking through these instruments who were inspired by the Lord to write down these lessons to the early church and lessons for us that stand the test of time. And you know, one of the things we can see all through history is that God has been faithful to make himself known. And that's one of the things God's doing in the Bible. He's making himself known. And God's been faithful to do this all through time. For Robin and I, we're in a Zoom call with a couple of ours that from our church that moved to another city, and we still meet with them. And the wife was telling me, she was witnessing to her dad, and she goes, "Chris, help me process witnessing to my father, who's not a believer." And he said to her, he goes, "If I just saw a miracle, I would believe." And she goes, "What, how do I respond to that?" And I was like, "Well, Morgan, how about we just process the miracles we see every day? I mean, when you think about it, God has revealed himself through miracles that we see on a daily basis. For example, yesterday, Friday night, our grandkids spent the night at our house, and we were very grateful that we got to send them back the next day. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but no, it was super fun. And on Saturday, here I am cruising through my neighborhood with Conley, my granddaughter, on my shoulders, and we're walking through the neighborhood. I said, "Look, Conley, look at the top of that tree. It's starting to turn red." well, why, Poppy? She's in that annoyingly cute why of everything. And I was like, well, let's talk about this. And I go, hey, look at that one. That's starting to turn yellow. And I began saying to Conley, God did that for us. Aren't the seasons miraculous? I mean, this morning I got up and it was cold outside. I loved it. And it wasn't cold, it was cool. And you know, I look at creation. God has made himself known. What a miracle. And God keeps revealing himself. This is something he always does. And he's done this through his word. And so for us, if we're going to summarize the challenge today, as we look at God's word, as we refresh the vision of our church, I want to ask you a question. Are you paying attention to what God is doing in your life? Are you paying attention to what God is doing in our church? You know, God is revealing himself, speaking to us, leading us. Let me ask you another question. Are you putting God's word in your heart? Where you really understand what he said through his word? Hey, are you surrounding yourself with people that are pushing you to know God, to walk with him? Like Emily and Maggie talked about this, the value of our generation. They articulated one of the greatest aspects of our church. It's kind of like the reverse of the Progressive commercial. I think it's Progressive. You know that Progressive commercial of don't be like your parents, you know? Okay, do you know that sometimes people have said to me, now that I've grown my beard for a short time because Robin's about to make me cut it, but happy wife, happy life, you know, that's good. But you know, now that I've grown my beard, people have said, you look like your dad. Do you know, my dad had some quirks. He has some Estelisms. His name was Estel. Like a boy named Sue. That's why he named me Chris and my brother Mike. But you know what? There are times when somebody says you're like your dad. I'm grateful for that. You know, my dad, he wasn't perfect. He's a coach. But I'm thankful. He taught me how to swing a hammer and which side to use. Taught me how to throw a punch. I'm not a big brawler or anything, but I'm glad he taught me that. Taught me how to take a punch. That happened a few times in my life. And you know, the truth is, the value of our church being multi-generational. You know what I've discovered in life? That those people that don't have older generations in their life, they historically struggle. And what I love about our church is we have young and old together. Man, God has planted us here. God's working among us. Stand with me and let's read Colossians 1. And if you're visiting, we stand in honor of God's word. Colossians 1, 24 through 29. And God says to us, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of his glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me. And this is the word of the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, Now, Paul wrote this. Now, it's God's word to us, but Paul was one of those disciples transformed by Christ that came out of the, that were influenced by the Great Commission guys, those guys that heard Jesus give them that commission that we read about several months ago when or weeks ago in Matthew when Jesus said, it was this week, that go to all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Paul was influenced by those guys that heard that charge. And that's really important to recognize that Paul was transformed by Christ. He was saved. And you know, as we think about Paul being influenced by the Great Commission, we're still influenced by the Great Commission. As our staff got together, we said, let's refresh the vision of our church, the vision statement of our church. And you know, all good churches, their vision statement centers around the Great Commission. That as we go to the nations, that we're knowing God and making Him known. And as a staff, we've wrestled through the terminology, how we're going to articulate this and interpret this from our body as we are trying to pay attention to what God's doing, what God has done, what He's continuing to do in our church. And so we phrase it like this, and our staff wrestled through this, that our mission is to know God and help people follow Jesus here, there, and everywhere. And I'm going to have Carl leave this up, that our mission is to know God. Do you know that that's the greatest opportunity you have? You and I have is to know God. You can know not just about Him, but know Him. You know, I'm working on John 17. I'm reviewing that the month of October as I try to review a passage of Scripture, a chapter that I'd memorized before. And I've just, as I've reflected on this, John 17:3. Now, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. That eternal life is found when you know God. Knowing God is the greatest opportunity, not just knowing about Him, but knowing Him, interacting with Him. And God has made Himself known to us. And let's pay attention to this. Let's pay attention to what He's doing in our lives, what the Holy Spirit is doing among us, in front of us, around us. And God's made Himself known. He's omniscient. We know this. That's a fancy theological word that says God is all-knowing. There's nothing that He doesn't know. He can be everywhere at every moment. The fancy way to say that is He's omnipresent. That blows our mind that He can be at all places at all times. There's no place you can go where He's not there. He is omnipotent. His power is limitless. There's nothing that God can't do. And like the old song goes, I've been listening to that some this week as I've just been preparing for this message, but I love this song, "You are Lord of creation and Lord of my life. You're Lord of the land and the sea. You're Lord of the heavens before there was time. And Lord of all lords you'll be." And that is true. That's who He is. And knowing Him and walking with Him is the greatest opportunity we've ever had. And I think about walking with Him today. What a joy it is to get to walk with Him today. What interesting times that we get to live as we process 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. If you look at that passage and you read that list of, but mark this, there'll be terrible times in the last days. And it lists all this laundry list of what the last days will look like. And oh my goodness, when you read that list in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, it's like you're reading our laundry in 2025. Can you read laundry? I don't know. Your laundry list, thank you. It's our struggles as we process Daniel 12. Talks about the end of days. In the last days, there will be an increase of knowledge. Oh, what days we get to live. How important it is for us to pay attention to God's voice, how important it is for us to make sure God's word is in our hearts, in our minds. how important it is for us to be meeting together. Like when I look at our church, many have gotten out of the habit of not just giving, but coming. And now that we're back, let's get back in the habit. Oh my goodness, how important it is to live paying attention in these days. Now, if you're taking notes today as we look at this passage, look back at Colossians 1. But if you're taking notes, we see in this passage that God's word is fully known. You realize that God's word is sufficient for you and me. God's word is sufficient for us. We don't have to add to what he's written for us, what he's given to us. The Bible is sufficient for our knowledge of him. Though he spoke beyond the Bible, he spoke through creation. But God has very clearly, uniquely revealed himself through his word. And God's made himself fully known. In Colossians 1:28, we proclaim him so that every believer may be fully mature in Christ. We proclaim him. And you know what? That's our calling. And you know, there are times that we don't do that well. Can I just confess to you? I missed a moment on Friday. There's a group of guys I meet with on Friday mornings at 6:30, and we were at a coffee shop this week, and I missed an opportunity. And Robin and I were talking about this on yesterday, and I was like, golly, I wish I wouldn't have missed this. But I repented of this and praying. But we were at this Bible study, we were meeting with these guys, and I really wanted to get with these guys. And as we're sitting there, right when we started, a lady overhears us and sits down. Not right next to us, but close by. And she said, hey, that's interesting what you just said. And asked one of the guys a question. And you know, we were nice to her. We were gracious to her. We responded to her. But you know, we kind of was like, okay, thanks. And then we turned our face to each other. And she sat there. She lingered just a bit. And then she got up and left. And later on, an hour later, I had a Zoom meeting. And I was asked to close out this Zoom meeting for this responsibility that I have that's kind of evangelistic. And I said in my prayer, Lord, I pray we'd be open to opportunities that you put right in front of us. And after I said amen and we got off that Zoom call, it's like the Lord was like, hey, you missed that one. You know, God's called us to, God's made himself known. And he's called us to proclaim. Look at verse 24 and let's dig into this passage. And I just want us to pay attention. To get good at paying attention to what the Lord's doing among us, around us. And we got to get better at this. Look at what he says in verse 24. Now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake and in my flesh. I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church. I want you to notice this. Notice his spiritual growth. We've been talking about this, how important it is for us to measure our spiritual growth and pay attention to the fact, are we growing up spiritually? This is something we should evaluate and measure and consider. Are we growing up spiritually? And right here, if you have been with us for the last several weeks, it's obvious that spiritual growth has taken place in Paul's life. Last week, we were in James chapter 1 about suffering and difficulty. And look what he says. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. You know, he's learned to rejoice in the difficult times. You know, suffering brings good to the church. Suffering brings good to your life. Now that flies in the face of our American temptation of Christianity, because often the biblical walk with the Lord is not always the American version of that. Because we tend to be like, oh, I can't believe we're going through a tough time. But Paul learned to rejoice in his suffering. And in his flesh, he noticed that his flesh, as he struggled through difficult times, God was filling up what was lacking. You see that? That's what happens in suffering. If you just do a casual evaluation of church history, you see something very interesting. That all through history, if you really evaluate it, when the church is going through persecution, the church grows. when the church comes into power and gets it gets easy, you know what happens? The church declines. That I would say the same is true for our lives. When things are going great, what do we have a tendency to do? We have a tendency to coast. But when things are tough, as a follower of Christ, you know what we come to see is not that historic argument from atheists that go, you Christians, where is God when all the tough times come? And let me tell you, in my life, as a follower of Christ, what we discover when tough times come, that's when Christ is the most clear, when his word is the most understandable, and when his power is the most realized. Because we recognize the strength that comes when we turn to Christ. Suffering is, and Paul learned this, he rejoiced in his suffering. Suffering brings us uniquely close to Christ. That's why the Bible moves us to rejoice in it, to understand it. And this is what it looks like in verse 25. Look at it. For which he's filling up, and this is in his, for the sake of his body. What is the body? It's the church. He's pointing to the church. He's talking about the value of the church. This is the value of our gathered group. The value of us being in this together. And now the church is interesting because it's all over the world. It's all over Owosso. But you know what? God has called you to be with this people, with us, walking with us, knowing us, walking side by side together, knowing our story, knowing your journey. And this is verse 25, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship of God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. This was Paul's calling. This to me is an important reminder of how our leaders must be. And I pray that you make sure that every leader you install, if I'm killed tomorrow, if I go to heaven tomorrow, that you are passionate about making sure the leaders that get up and preach are faithful to make the word of God fully known. And Paul articulates this responsibility, this stewardship that was from God. And what was the, and he's making this mystery known. What is the mystery hidden? Verse 26, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. And what he's articulating is this passion to stay biblical. As I think about the calling that we have to know God and to help people follow Jesus here, there, and everywhere. Do you know one of the core values that's critically important is that we are able to handle the Bible, to know what the Bible says, to recognize this as the Word of God. And you know, as I embrace the responsibility, the calling, the hope that we as a body are that God's Word is fully known, revealing Himself to us, we understand the high view of Scripture that's critically important for us. You know, Scripture is not just a book we study. We understand that it's the voice of God helping us think right, shaping the way we live, how we process the world. And God's Word, this is an old statement, God's Word is inspired, inerrant, the perfect revelation of Himself to us. It is divine truth with God as its author, salvation as its aim, and not one ounce of error mixed in. And because of that, we as a body must recognize the authority of Scripture. And God's Word needs to be fully known by us and understood. When I think about this, I want to challenge us. I want to challenge you and me with four things real quick that we're called to engage God's Word. That if a mark that you are growing to maturity, God's Word is engaged. I gave every one of you a card when you walked in. Pull out your card if you got it. Okay, I want to challenge you to engage the Word of God. You know, part of that is memorizing it. One of the things that I do is, and I'm working on this, is I'll write the verse out on one side, and I'll put the reference on the other. I want to challenge you this week, engage God's Word. Because if God's Word is becoming fully known, guess what? You'll engage it. You'll encounter it. You'll wrestle through it. You'll process it. And I want to challenge you to read it, to study it, to memorize it. Like an assignment from this day, for you to go at some point today, write, maybe it's a verse in Colossians, maybe it's a verse that somebody prayed over you. A young man came into my office recently and he talked about a verse his grandfather prayed. I go, where is it? He goes, I don't really remember. I was like, find it, memorize it by Wednesday. Because your grandpa gave that to you. That's so very valuable. Let's know the Word of God. God's Word, when it's critical to be engaged. Secondly, as you think about God's Word must be understood. We don't approach it casually. We approach it carefully. One of the things that must be true of our church is that God's Word must not be mildly important to us. And one conviction I have, how quick we all tend to neglect it, overlook it. And let's not approach it casually. This is a mandate for our staff as we look at leading every age level in our church, that we don't get up and give TED Talks around here from preschool all the way to senior adults. I appreciated Paul Purifoy. Our senior adults just got back from New Orleans on a big trip. And Paul said, hey, here's what we're focusing on spiritually. And at every level, we are engaging the Word of God. We are working to understand the Word of God. That's what it looks like to engage the Scripture. God's Word is a lens for us. This is a challenge I give to you, that God's Word becomes a lens for our church. And this is subtle, but this is right. And granted, pastors have different philosophies. Churches have different ways they approach Scripture. The Scripture, I'll tell you the way we do it. Some people approach the Scripture by looking at their newspaper and say, what does the Word of God say? You know what we do? We go, what does the Word of God say to help us understand our newspaper? Those of you who are younger, newspaper was this thing they used to deliver to houses. And they'd be on your front porch. But God's Word must be a lens for the way we see the world, for the way we interpret our times. And you know what? This is what gives me a sense of urgency with the gospel and a conviction that I don't want to miss opportunities like I did Friday. I don't want to miss the moment like I did. I want to get better as a more sensitive, pay closer attention to God's Word, to being a witness. And God's Word's a lens for us. And you know, when I study the Word of God, you know what always happens? God's Word demands a response from me. And this is something, if you want to pay attention to say, God, am I in your Word? Am I growing to fully understand what you have said? Am I growing to maturity in Christ? Well, we respond to God's Word. We respond to what God says. And this is why I plead with us, and we must, and I must respond to the Lord every time He moves in front of me. Every time He moves me, I move. This is critically important. And as we come to know God and help people follow Jesus here, there, and everywhere, it's critical to have a core value for God's Word being authoritative, being uniquely biblical, intentionally biblical, because that's what it means to make disciples here, that we're able to handle what God has said. You know, when I was at camp, I was at junior high camp this year, and I was talking to a group of eighth grade boys. I was doing my session. I had a breakout session. And one of these eighth grade boys, he asked me a question. He goes, Chris, I got a question for you. It was just, ask the pastor any question you want. And he goes, I have a question. Why is the Bible so hard to read and understand? I go, that's a really good question. What do you think? I just wanted to see what he thought. And he goes, well, I guess it causes you to stop and think about it. I thought, I think you just answered your own question. Because, yeah, God did write his word in such a way, reveal his word in such a way that it causes us to pause. You know, we live in the day of Google. Last week, there was a girl here. It was interesting to me. There was a father and daughter sat right at the back. And they had come to Tulsa for a concert. They were from Bentonville, Arkansas. And I met them, and they're like, yeah, we don't live here. We just came to church here. We looked you up online. Interesting. And the daughter's name was Siri. And I go, hey, Siri, I got a question. And she was like an eighth grader, and she looked at me like, you're the dumbest person. And I go, oh, am I not the first person that's ever asked you that? She's like, no. And then the dad said, we actually named her Siri before Siri was a thing. And it reminded me how quickly times have changed. Think about that. She's in the eighth grade. And when she was born, Siri wasn't a thing. God's word demands a response from us. And lastly, as we kind of end today, as we come to know God and help people follow Jesus here, there, and everywhere, I look at this passage and it's striking to me because not only is God's word fully known, not only does it reveal who God is, but you know what this passage tells us? That God's plan of salvation is fully experienced. You know what breaks my heart about that right there? Of why this passion to know God and help people follow Jesus here, there, and everywhere must be refreshed in my heart. Because I know what it's like to be forgiven. And you know what? I didn't share that with this lady that sat down at our table. I'm praying for another redo because I'll probably see her again and I'm not going to fumble next time. Look at verse 27. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know what? I know what it's like to have hope in the midst of death and tragedy, unanswerable questions or unexpected curveballs in life. God's given us hope. And we are Gentiles. You realize that if we were running around the first century with Jesus, do you know that we would be the outcasts? We'd be the ones that are like, this isn't for you. You're a Gentile. Get out of the way. But Paul reminds us that the gospel came to Gentiles, those undeserving. Now we know that Jesus said all of us are undeserving. We're all sinners. But oh my goodness, him we proclaim, verse 28, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And I would say we've got to grow to maturity. And it's this gratitude that should flow out of us. And so it's my prayer. As a church, we refresh on our mission in this place, in this church, to know God and to help people around us follow Christ. And this is the calling we have and the responsibility that God has entrusted to us. And as I'm so thankful for a staff who would sit around and work to pay attention to what God's doing in our lives, for what God's doing in our church, in our community. And look at verse 29. I just don't want to miss verse 29. And Paul says, for this I toil. He toils. Notice that. I love this. I think this is important to recognize that Paul is toiling. I don't know if you've ever experienced, I mean, I look at what we've gone through as a church. It's been toil to try to figure out our groups and put everything in different places. And, man, it's cost us money and it's cost us effort. And then I look at this and I go, okay, well, serving the Lord sometimes is toil. Oh, but it's so good. It's how you experience the Lord, through the toil. And he says, look, struggling with all his energy. Notice that. That God gives us the energy. God gives us what we need when we need it. Struggling with all his energy. Then he powerfully works within us. Within me, Paul says. You and I get to experience God powerfully working in us. And that's an adventure you don't want to miss. That's an adventure I don't want to miss. I don't want to live my life doing what I can do. I don't want to live my life for myself. You know what I pray that you know what will be so valuable when we cross the finish line of life? That we'll be able to say, Lord, we, like Paul says, I toiled for you. I worked with all my energy. Oh, that's how I want to meet the Lord. I don't want to meet the Lord coasting. I don't want to meet the Lord and following Christ has been mildly important. I don't want to meet the Lord and go, you know what? I did what I could do. Oh, let's meet the Lord busting across that finish line. With faithfulness, obedience, adventure, trusting the Lord through the struggles, not missing, paying attention to what God's doing in your life, in our church. Would you bow your head? And as you bow your head and close your eyes, I just want to ask you to go to the Lord right now. And I want you to just ask this question. God, am I paying attention to you? Now I want you to ask, make the Lord a commitment. Lord, what verse should I memorize? And would you help me do it? Would you just take that to the Lord? Now I want you to thank the Lord because you're sitting in this room today or you're watching online. And I want you to thank the Lord for surrounding you with people that can help you. Father, I pray that you would help us pay attention to you. I pray that you would give us the diligence to memorize a passage of just one verse this week. That, Father, you would, for everyone in this room, everyone listening, they'd get a card, memorize your word. I thank you for allowing us to be together. I pray that we'd be faithful to continually surround ourselves with your people as we walk out our faith and trust you. Lord, I love you. Thank you for this day in Jesus' name.